Hey there, welcome back to the Path to Zion podcast, where we are rediscovering the ancient way. Thank you so much for tuning back in today. We are moving into part two, which is going to be a conclusion. This is no super lengthy discussion here of the trap of we know better now. It is permeating culture as a whole, and sadly, it has made its way into the body, and we could say it's been there all along. We know better than that now. Ha! I don't need to believe that stuff. We have progressed. We're smarter now. We're better. We're more educated. We're more advanced than all those primeval people of yesteryear. Whether we look back thousands of years ago, whether we look back at the disciples, whether we look back to the 1800s, we are the progressive ones, and we are enlightened. Now this, if we wanted to take it down a few floors, we could talk about the age of enlightenment and how we've been duped to believe that things have unfolded a certain way over eons of time, and here we are now. We've moved out of the, you know, oh, just the darkness and the, oh, those poor, wretched, ignorant ones. They weren't like we are today. Friends, we need to really be careful of that and make sure we don't fall prey. Now, a very quick review, if we just look over what we talked about in part one, in case it's been a while since you saw it. We talked about Genesis chapter 3. I believe the inception, the seed, if you will, that was planted into some sadly very fertile ground in Eve's heart, which is the enemy saying, you know, did Elohim really say that? And I believe, as simple as that sounds, I believe that that is the same lie that continues to permeate all of our concerns today towards what the scripture says and what we do about what we read. Because that mindset, that principle, that deception at its very source and origin does something in the hearts of men, my heart included, to say, I don't know if that's really what Yahweh meant. Surely, I don't understand that, or that seems hard, or that seems this, or that. I don't know. I've got to find another way. I've got to find a better explanation that better fits my own understanding. And friend, man, don't lean on your own understanding. Who cares about our own understanding? We know nothing other than what Yahweh himself reveals to us. Well, we know a lot. We know plenty. We're educated now. We're full of knowledge. But what is true? What is right? And we're going to talk about on a little bit as we go through these points here that I highlighted in part one that we'll get to. Wisdom is calling out. She's speaking. She's letting us know what is true, what is right, according to Yahweh Elohim. But man, if we don't have our ears dialed into her frequency, we're going to be just like Eve, and we're going to hear that, and we're going to go, you know what? Huh. I kind of like the sound of that. I'd kind of like to go over there and have a little snack and be enlightened and exalt myself and elevate myself, which what happened, friend? Why did that even infiltrate mankind? Because that's what infiltrated the angelic realm and all these different things. It was a snowball effect by the time the flood arrived. Friend, please let us pay attention to what the Word has taught us and warned us about so, so many times. A little bit more review and we'll move into today. We talked about Deuteronomy and Yahweh himself speaking and saying, look, I'm telling you to be very careful today. Do not add to my word and do not take away from it. And I shared, I believe this is true. We'll put it up for your discretion and your own determination if this is fact or not. I propose that Christianity is just as guilty as the Talmudic adhering, non-believing Pharisaical leaders of Yeshua's day. I believe we are Christianity. I try to be careful. I'm not in Christianity anymore. I don't want to be aligned with that anymore. I believe in many ways it's a false messiah. It's just true. I'm not trying to be hurtful or aggressive or, you know, excitement-based. It's not about that. I believe it's biblically factual. It is a false messiah offering a false salvation that does not fit the prophesied Mashiach that we see in the word of Elohim. He's a different man. That aside, Yeshua was always talking about how he told the non-believing Pharisaical teachers that because you have added to my Father's word, you have literally made the word void. You've made it of no effect. I propose for your consideration and all of us listening, Christianity has done the exact same thing on the flip side of that coin. They added, Christianity has removed. Both parties are blatantly guilty of breaking the Deuteronomy command to don't you add to my word and then go all the way to here. New Christianity, new religion, Jesus. Hey, and you don't take away from all of it. Don't excuse yourself from all of my commands. I believe those are synonymous, although opposites. There's a tough one for you. Some major issues moving into part two here that I see this principle that we're highlighting today, this we know better now mentality infiltrating. Number one, as expected, the Torah, of course. Yeshua instructed his followers to listen to the leaders when they were what? Seated in the chair of Moses. We have talked about this in endless episodes. We might grab some links and throw them here and there. This has been discussed so many times by so many people, and it's really helped me understand, and I've tried to pass that on in my own limited understanding as well. These same leaders that we were just criticizing a moment ago that were adding to Father's perfect Torah, Yeshua was, of course, hard on them, but he told his hearers in the Gospels, look, when these same men are sitting in the chair of Moses, you better listen and do everything they say. Do everything they say, just don't do what they do when they get up and walk out of here. Do the Torah commands, don't do what they're adding to them, okay? It's very simple. Matthew chapter 5, just so you know, this isn't just my opinion in case it's necessary. This is what Yeshua said. Do not think that I came to abolish the Torah or the prophets, exclamation point. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or serif shall ever pass away from the Torah until all things come to pass. There's nothing wrong with your video. You didn't slow it down. I'm reading slowly so we all let that settle into us on a molecular level. Yeshua said, but he also said, Paul said, no, that's the problem. Let us read this and allow it to settle in and have some place to land. Yeshua said, I'm not here to abolish, remove the Torah and the prophets. I'm here to fulfill, to fill to full, to exemplify to perfection in human form like no one before me has chosen to do. If you want to try to remove that and explain that away another way, I'm going to say it this way. Until heaven and earth pass away, not even the smallest, if you know the Hebrew language, the little foot, the little marks, until those little tiniest, little teeniest little marks in the Torah, until those not even that little flippity-doo right there on the Hebrew language, even that little thing won't pass away from the Torah until all things come to pass. I don't know where you are in your timeline of history, but I'm pretty sure all of us would say, well, oh man, heaven and earth are still here. All things have not come to pass. Well, no. Yeshua meant, and here we are, friend. I know, we know what Yeshua meant. What if he meant what he said? What if he just meant what he said, friend? That's all I'm saying. Therefore, he continues, let's just make this even more clear and redundant. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others the same, what is this teaching, friend? Whoever, I would say, takes away from the commandments, whoever removes the commandments, this one, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps, which we know is guard, treasure, preserve, whoever keeps and then teaches them to others, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Well, we got to stop right there and say, okay, well, I got to make a real decision here. Do I want to be least in the kingdom of heaven? Or do I want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven? Now, here we are. Now we get into like Jehovah's Witnesses type understanding. I've had this dialogue with a man years ago before we moved to where we are now. I became friends with this guy that would come around and he would teach us all this doctrine. And he would say, "Brother, I don't care where I am in the afterlife. As long as I make it at all, I don't care." Well, that's fine. And that's, I guess, better than not caring at all. But like, this talks about a little bit of an order. This talks about lesser and greater. Friend, I want my trajectory. I want my attempt and goal to be the greater. I want to be one who, if it's possible, and I believe this says it is, I would rather be called great in the kingdom. Well, if I want to be called great in the kingdom, I need to keep and teach that the Torah commands even the least of them still matter today. Because we don't know better now. We don't know better now in Jesus. We don't. Okay? Of course, to our point, all of heaven and earth has not passed away, but what he really meant was this, is what we would say. We don't, but you know what I'm saying. The Father, the Son, even the authors of the New Testament told us how love is defined. And they all said what? If you love Yahweh, or Yeshua would say, if you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty simple, right? And he said, my commandments are what? My commandments are the Father's commandments. I'm not here to give you new ones. I don't have new ones. I don't have original ideas that I came up with to implement because me and my Father are the same. And he said, hey, son, go to the earth and just implement whatever laws you want. Mine are old after you're out of here. No, we never see that in the scriptures anywhere. So what then? Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yahweh said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And oh, by the way, my commandments are not burdensome. Okay, they're saying the same thing. Holy Spirit only speaks what Yeshua spoke, who only spoke what the Father spoke. So Holy Spirit speaks what the Father spoke because he will remind us of what Yeshua spoke on the earth, who only spoke what his Father said from heaven. This isn't complicated again. But we say, well, surely not those commands, not those. Jesus and Paul gave new ones, right? Right? Didn't he give us new commands? Again, here we are. Did God really say that? In this case, did Yeshua really mean every little dot and mark of the Torah wouldn't pass away? Did he really mean that? Let's just simplify and say yes. Another issue, front and center. We talked about some major areas where I believe this is highlighted. We just said the Torah, of course. Sabbath. Sabbath is another one. Exodus chapter 31 says, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing it throughout their generations as a covenant. For how long? Forever. I believe it's olam there, perpetual, enduring forever, continuous, perpetual, all for all time, for all generations. Why? It is a sign. It is a Hebrew oath. It is an oath, a sign, a mark. It is a distinguisher. Yahweh's looking. I believe principalities are looking. Yahweh's people, Yahweh's people, Yahweh's people. It was a sign. It is a sign. It will be a sign in days to come. It is a sign forever between Yahweh and the people of Israel. Well, here we are again. We're doing this. We're going to do this redundantly here for the next few moments. Well, we're not really Israel. Again, this starts out, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. I'm not a Jew. And I know this gets redundant, but friends, some of these things have to be to just get through our thick skulls of indoctrination to help us be set free. Because we're in the Sabbath rest now, right? We're in the Sabbath rest. Hebrews, doesn't Paul talk about that? Here we are. Did God really mean that? Well, are you a part of Israel? You know, the commonwealth of Israel and the prophecies of Zion and like a nation of identifiable, set apart, one man people, neither Jew nor Greek. Who are you? Who are we, friend? Because the people of Israel, Yahweh's set apart, consecrated people, they shall keep the Sabbath throughout all their generations as a covenant forever. Well, but forever, okay, so forever in, and here we go, we can, I can make all these things. I'm not trying to make this a mockery, but I'm just going, it's somewhat comical to me as these things come to mind of how many excuses I used to say and how many excuses I presently hear towards a Christianity mindset that relentlessly spends so much energy finding ways out of doing the word of Elohim, living according to it. Why? Here we are again. We know better now. We know better now. Those Jews didn't know anything. They didn't even know Jesus like we do. Boy, we are something, aren't we? Moving on, food. Another category, I believe we have five. This is number three, food. Well, I know that the Bible clearly lists, like Yahweh himself lists, animals that the Creator himself made for food. Right? He does. He makes a list. Okay? These are clean animals. And if you've never heard this before, I have to say it every single time this comes up, and I will continue to do so till the day I breathe my last. There are animals created for food, and there are animals that were created to never be food. There is not unclean food and clean food. Okay? That is such a game changer for anyone that has a landing pad in their heart for that to sit and like, whoa, okay? There are no unclean foods. There are clean animals for food, and there are unclean animals never intended to be food, ever, okay? And so there are lists of what Yahweh stated these animals to be. No one knew about it. This isn't a Jewish thing. We have videos about that as well. No one knew. Clean and unclean. He took extra clean animals onto the ark. Why? Well, we don't have time for everything. But Jesus changed all that, right? Or Paul did. If Jesus didn't, Paul surely did, right? Right? Please? Please tell me I can eat a BLT. Please tell me I can still go to the barbecue restaurant tomorrow. Please. I love shrimp. Please. Friend, it is not about that at all. Who cares what we want to eat? Our bellies, man. We know the prophecies. Bellies will rule men in the last days. Well, oh boy, here we are. I love pepperoni pizza. Surely there's a verse that says I can eat whatever I want. Find it. Hurry. Find it. The pizza's on the way. That's how we live, Fred. That's how we live. And again, what are we doing? We are looking for ways to excuse ourselves from the scriptural commands on how to live. And guess what? Why? For our good, not for our restraint, restriction, our, oh, I don't get to do anything fun. Friend, we in our house, we just celebrated Passover 2 days ago. And I'm telling you what, there was no burdensome, troublesome, oh, dreariness. No way. What an incredible joy it is to enter into the feast of Yahweh Elohim for his set apart people, friend, a celebratory people. This is no burden. If you think it's a burden, you are not understanding what we are to do. Let me just put it that way. Did God really say that about animals? Did he really make clean and unclean in Genesis? Did Noah really need clean animals? Did he really, did just little carpenter man Noah, who put the ark together and everybody hated, the crazy man Noah, did he really know clean and unclean animals? Did God really say that? Let's not say that, friends. Let's not do it. Circumcision, as we'll move into our last two and bring this to a conclusion. Circumcision. Oh, that's another one. Boy, don't you talk to me about that. Don't talk to me about circumcision. I'm in Jesus. It's a heart matter now. I always start with, friend, it was a heart matter then. okay? It was a hard matter back then. Are you telling me that Abraham did not look at that as a heart issue, a heart matter? Well, he was a man of faith first. He believed first. Yeah, but that doesn't help your point any, because his belief and his faith propelled him to an action, friend. It propelled him to what? Oh, no, here's the W word again. Works. Works. And to our point, we alluded to this, I think, in part one. We've been talking about Abraham a lot lately over the last 5 or 6 episodes. And so we could say, well, I know that I'm a child of Abraham. You know, casual Christian understanding and upbringing I had. I'm a child of Abraham, father Abraham. Yeah, that's me. He had many sons. Here I am. I'm a child of Abraham. But even Yeshua said that children of Abraham are marked by what? By doing what Abraham did. Works. I'm telling you, I'm convinced Yeshua would be so hard on the Christian mindset of today. They'd say, hey, look at what we did. And this, boy, this is prophecy right here out of Yeshua's mouth. Many will say, hey, I did this, I did this, I did this. He say, guess what, friend? I never knew you. I never knew you. There's no oath. There's no sign of the covenant. There's no mark. And now this is not a circumcision teaching. Are you saying that if I'm not circumcised, I don't know Christ? No, no, no. I'm not saying that. Let's be careful. I'm saying throughout the entire word of Elohim, from the very, very beginning to the culmination of the mark of the beast and all that's transpiring against Yahweh's set apart assembly, who's in the blood of Messiah and has the testimony of Messiah, and they know Yahweh's name and all these things. Friends, all the way to the end, there's a mark. There's a sign. There is an oath that appears in the Hebrew Old Testament. I believe Yeshua would say, I don't see any sign of the covenant here. I don't see any sign. And that goes back to Sabbath we just touched on. Sabbath is what? We read the verse. It is a sign. Sabbath is an oath forever for my people, says Yahweh Elohim. Forever. A sign, a mark, a seal. I have more stuff towards Passover I might make an episode here, but it's so long. Talking about how Passover and the blood of Messiah and the Passover lamb and the Exodus account and Yeshua, the lamb slain, it's not all about the blood, friend. It's about all the whole package culminating in a covenant. That's it. It's like you have all these things, but it's all about the covenant. You have the sign, which is awesome and incredible, and it's necessary. You have the blood on the doorpost of the house, absolutely necessary. But why? It is only a statement to be identified as one in covenant, a covenant with Yahweh Elohim. That is what all of creation and the seen and unseen is looking for, are those in covenant. As I always say here on the program, I started saying this probably 4 years ago. There's two camps of people, in covenant, not in covenant. If we want to simplify, this isn't about saved and are you saved? Are you not saved? Nobody's saved. Nobody's saved. It will all be determined in a not yet reality in the future. We will be saved or we will not be saved. We've not endured to the end. Question is, are we in an atoned condition in covenant with signs upon us, or are we not? Okay? Without getting distracted. And circumcision was, I believe, is an oath, a sign. Okay? And Yeshua himself said, look, if you were the sons of Abraham, you'd be doing what he was doing. Now, he was not talking about mere circumcision physically, because they probably were, okay? We're not going to get into all that, and this isn't a medical documentary. But these men met certain qualifications, but they weren't living according to the pattern that Abraham instated that his sons, his offspring, his covenantal people would be demonstrating. They weren't doing that, okay? But circumcision was, of course, a major part and component of the works of Abraham. Yes, and amen. Lastly, creation, cosmology, and science. And again, to get us back to the heart of what we're talking about, we, I believe, need warned and given a strong caution to be very careful that we are not in any way falling prey to the trap of we know better now. We know better now than all those who preceded us. I don't believe that is something we should ever do. And so in our last highlighted topic, creation, cosmology, and science. Now this one is massive. I don't hardly ever talk about my beliefs towards cosmology here on the program. You'll hear it every once in a while. My wife goes, "Oh, Joel, you said something like that." She doesn't care. She leads the way in the studies of that, and surely towards understanding. But that being said, I know that those that penned the Bible informed us of specifics about creation. We know that. It's all over. It's interwoven into everything once your eyes are open to specific things that were taking place throughout recorded history in the Word. How heaven and earth are laid out. But those men just didn't know what we know today, right? That's what is so common. This one's a huge highlight. This one we could spend endless episodes on. They didn't have space satellites. They didn't have NASA. I know that the Bible tells us that the Hebrews based their entire lives on the creation scriptures, but they somehow had archaic understanding and just didn't know what we know now. They just didn't understand. Friend, we're arrogant. We're arrogant, not to mention this tiny compartment over here that I'm just not even going to really look at, but I'm just going to say, and I won't look at it because I'll open it up. Friends, we are deceived. We're deceived. And if someone in a studio can create an image of a quadrillion billion mile away galaxy and with their CGI clicks and colors are added, you know, we tweaked it a bit. But we're gonna call it the finger of God. And next thing you know, it's a sermon topic. Friend, we're so deceived. Why can't we just study the Word and it be enough? Well, we need to prove. We need to prove through science that the Bible is true. No, I don't. I don't need that. The Bible's true, period. I don't need a bunch of NASA scientists to tell me that the Bible's true. Moving on. We think we know better now. Those who went before us, they just didn't know anything. Simple people. They didn't have understanding and didn't know what we know now. They didn't understand. They are just meager shepherd men. Here we are again. I know the Bible talks about this, about the earth, about the heavens, about the Shemayim, the waters separated above and beneath. That's even in the flood account, confirmed all over the place. I know, but that just doesn't make sense according to what science has taught us. The Hubble telescope has told us something that is just more enlightening. Did God really say that? Did Yahweh really? It's not the Bible. And here we go. Here we go. I have to be very careful. The Bible is not a science book. It's not a science book. We could do this all day, literally. I had extra points. I cut them out for the sake of being more brief. So we need to move on to a conclusion as we talk about the trap of we just know better now. Friends, let us make sure that we're shaking off the arrogance and the pride that exalts our own understanding over that of the Word and of the righteous men who preceded us. And to those of us who literally do, I mean literally now, daily, with our farms, with our children, with what we watch, with where we go, with what we listen to, with what we consume. For those of us who literally do allow the scriptures to tell us how to live and move, it's time for us to cling to the Word tighter than ever. This is a very sobering conclusion, I know, but I really feel this is true. The gray is pouring into the mainstream belief system. Pouring in. Lines are no longer being blurred. The lines are gone. They're being erased. We, 2024 spring, we are the misinformed and ignorant ones. Us. Okay? We are. Let's be careful to believe this age-old deception that goes all the way back to Genesis, that we somehow know better now. We know better now. So, in conclusion, absolutely, what do we do then? What then do we do? Where do we go from here? I would say study more and more and more. Talk about it when you get up and when you lie down. Remember that? That's why that matters. That's why Yahweh told us those things, friend. That's why the Torah of Elohim is perfect. That's why it revives our soul. Why? We're revived to life because we're coming out of death and destruction and deception that is over the entire earth, darkening the eyes of the masses, even those who believe that we are the elevated ones now. We're not Jews. And again, that's what the Catholic Church instituted. Leave behind those dirty Jews who killed the Messiah. We've got the church from here. So let us go to wisdom. She's calling out, friend. What is she declaring? We need to know in this hour. We need to know. This is no, like, the end of the world is coming message. I could do those and get millions of views. It's not the point here. We need to go to wisdom's house and dwell. This remnant people literally need to come out further and further. We need to exalt the word over our own opinions without infiltrating the word's truth to make it fit what we already believe and desire and think we know. We have to put them over our indoctrinations, the deceptions of men that have created these false realities that we live within. We need to make Yahweh's feet our abode and the volumes of His Word our library, consuming what He has told us is true. Lastly, apostasy is not so frightening when the masses are all engaged within it. That's a very profound statement. Apostasy is not so frightening and appalling when the masses are all engaged within it. It's just normal, friend. Apostasy is what? Leaving behind the word of Elohim and ignoring His instruction in Deuteronomy to don't add to it and don't you dare take away from it. We need to stand up, be okay more and more in incremental ways along this journey of being all right with being separate and holy as Yahweh is holy. Why? Even the elect can be led astray, friend. So be diligent, be alert, be awake. Take some inventory of your life. In what ways in your heart, I'm doing the same thing right here today. In what ways have we bought into this trap? We've fallen in, man. We know better now. We know better now. Let us hold fast to the word of Yahweh Elohim, for it alone is perfect. It's our hope. Cling to it tightly, friends. It's going to matter more and more as each day passes. You've been watching the Path to Zion podcast. We are rediscovering the ancient way. Reach out to us via email. We're getting emails, man. I love engaging with you wherever you are on the earth, friend. Wherever you are and whatever your circumstances in, don't be like, no, he doesn't have time for that. No. This program is not like that. I don't get hundreds of emails a day. Please email us. I love it. When I can respond, I try to as quickly as I can. I love engaging with your concerns, your questions, praying into your situation. We do that. This is real life. So thank you for doing that. PathToZionPodcast@gmail.com is the way to do it. Thank you so much for watching. Amen.